This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, we're here. It's live. It's Wednesday. It feels like a Tuesday, but it's Wednesday. Which means by the time you feel like a Thursday, it's going to be a Friday.
It's a little surprise at the end of the week.
Yes, exactly. So we'll see how the clock goes, but Gord Laws is coming in this morning.
It is exactly 7 minutes past six.
Yeah. So could be anywhere between now and 7 o'clock, really. It's like a lucky draw.
You never know what you'll get. Another 8 minutes. Let's see.
Anyway, we'll get going with that when we get going with it. There's lots to talk about this morning. I hope you are off to a good start. The mornings are dark. Dark now. You only start to see a little bit of light. Around 6, 10, somewhere around there.
Interestingly enough, as a person who grew up in Durban, I love the cold.
Do you really?
And I'm more productive in the cold as well.
Every Durbanite I know, the minute it gets cold, they start complaining and they don't stop until it's 30 degrees.
No, not me.
But you're also one of those people who likes to dress for winter.
Well, it's winter overall. You know, like as soon as I leave here and I run a few errands, but I go home, I'll take a little bath or something, I grab some pajamas and I'm in bed and I still feel energized. There's something about summer with the heat that makes you feel sluggish or like you don't want to do much.
I do kind of understand what you mean. They've got to be ups and downs about every season, right? We find reasons to like winter and we find reasons to like spring and summer and autumn. But the fact is, I would rather deal with being sweaty and sluggish in summer and it's beautiful outside than deal with the fact that every time you step out of a door, like yesterday, C and I were at a meeting in Rosebank at like 2 o'clock. And when we came up out of the escalator, into this open area and it was suddenly like biting. It was biting. I was like, what? This is April.
So chilly.
It's not good. Trust me.
Yeah, okay. I hear you there. Yeah,
so loads so of stuff to get stuck into this morning, and I hope your day is going very nicely so far. And let us know what you're up to, especially if it is interesting. If it's boring, just shut up, you know. I don't need to hear that.
Don't say that.
Well, isn't that true?
True.
Thank you. So I was reading a really interesting idea someone sent me yesterday. I want you to think about this. Let's imagine for a second that the EFF is a big long-term strategy of the ANC. It actually isn't a real party on its own.
Oh, please don't do this.
Let's imagine for a second that if you're voting for the EFF now, you're actually voting for the radicals in the ANC. Let's imagine that if you vote EFF and you give them, I don't know, 11-12% maybe, let's say they do really well, 12%.
Mm-hmm.
The ANC get 58-59%.
All right.
What you're really going to see then is a bunch of coalitions where the EFF are going to give their numbers over to the ANC, and you'll end up with, you know, let's say 70-71%, which is going to be the highest proportion the ANC's ever had. Even under Mbeki, they never got that high. Imagine if this is a big hoodwink by the EFF. Of course, they can justify it to their followers because their followers are going to say whatever you want, Julius.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a cult of the leader. Imagine if that's what's really going on.
My best.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you guys?
You flew in here.
You just cropped in.
I just kind of galloped up the stairs, which is, for me, it's been a while. Been a while since a stair gallop.
So yeah, you were going to say?
I just can't get past the irony of those posters of the EFF where it's Julius Malema's face and it says Son of the Soil.
Mm. Yeah, they're terrible.
Oh my God. Son of the Soiled Trousers, baby.
But how's my theory? I mean, it's not my theory. It's a theory of a friend of mine's. But what do you think? Imagine if
it's an ANC proxy vote.
That actually someone like Thabo Mbeki figured out a long time ago that to accommodate the radicals in the party, it was no longer sufficient to do so in the party because the broad church couldn't stretch that far. Let us create an an outside auxiliary body.
Despots.
Yeah, let them grow. We'll help them. Because, I mean, also you've got to ask the question, where are the EFF getting their funding?
It's like,
how they kept going. And maybe it is. Maybe it's a plan.
What made you think about this?
No. A friend of mine messaged me with this theory, and I thought about it quite a lot last night, and it makes a fair deal of sense.
It's exactly like biscuit brands.
Okay.
Explain that.
Yeah. Because you got manufacturers of biscuits, like, for example, Baker's, right? They make the premium Mari biscuit that you know and love.
Yeah.
But they also make the not Baker's branded cheaper crap Mari ones. Biscuit that are the crap ones. So you stand there looking at the Mari biscuit selection, wondering whether to save R2.40 on the shitty ones. And actually, Baker's are giving you the illusion of choice. And I mean, please no one sue me if someone works at Baker's and I've got this wrong, but that's the general principle is like...
That's very interesting.
Market things as your own competition.
Is that true?
Many brands and many industries do that. I mean, there are actual Mari biscuits.
So
biscuit.
You become your own competition. Yeah, and then you give the
illusion of choice.
Right.
So, but there are obviously on the shelf varieties that are real competitors, right. But there are a lot that seem to be and aren't. Not just in biscuits. Again, the biscuit industry may have changed a lot in the 20 years since I last found
out. Absolutely. Because you're a lot of things, but not a biscuit industry.
Not a biscuit industry expert, no. Right. But that is kind of like a, it's a principle in marketing. If you're like a massive corporate manufacturer of retail goods, create your own competition brands.
Not to sound condescending or to put them down, but I wonder if our political players have that much strategy.
If they're Machiavellian enough for that. Well, in politics, you'd be surprised how quickly they can think when they have to play the game of survival.
Because over the weekend, one of the things I was binge-watching was Chelsea Handler's former talk show on Netflix, and she devoted an episode on spin doctors. And she was interviewing one of the biggest spin doctors in the States, and they were talking about Judy Smith. Judy Smith is the one who the series Scandal was based on.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, so it's a fictional character that we now know the series as Scandal, but it's actually based on a real-life person.
Oh, wow, okay.
Who really worked on some big stories.
Wasn't Scandal a crap soap opera locally?
We have ETV Scandal, but no, we called it The Fix in South Africa.
I don't know the other one. Oh, The Fix.
Yes, right, that's okay. It. It's actually based on a real life character. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And so there was a huge conversation around spin doctors, and it was fascinating to hear how these are mostly lawyers who play in the political space, and it's not that, in their words, not that they lie, but they just play the truth to their strengths. And I don't think we have, you know, great teams like that in South Africa who'd go,
They also had
how can we change the landscape for our benefit when we, you know, don't even...
You're basically saying you don't think they're smart enough.
No. They also had that really good song about the girl who doesn't eat meat but sure likes the bone, didn't they? The spin doctors?
Yeah, that's right.
That's first corny.
Well, there was that movie with Aaron Eckhart.
If you
thank you for
want to be my baby, just go ahead now.
Dun, dun. Like to maybe blow me, go ahead now.
Well, that's the actual lyrics.
I'm sure it didn't go like that, but yes.
It's like that.
It's like a Mari biscuit and a fake Mari biscuit. It's almost the same. You can't
a Mari and a Clary.
I'm not sure what I've been
saying. Aaron Eckhart, there was a movie, probably somewhere in the 10, 15 years ago range, there was a movie, and I believe it's not Aaron Eckhart, called Thank You for Smoking. Also based on loosely based on real people about like lobbyists in the tobacco industry.
Mm.
The ones that help to not lose or mitigate the losses in class action lawsuits, and also to like lobby government to keep smoking laws less restricted in order to but buy a bit of government in order to keep the clearly poisonous cigarette industry legal.
I find something like that absolutely fascinating, but at the same time, I don't want to think about it because who knows how much we're being duped.
People love being duped. Hand a person a pile of bullshit, sprinkle some coriander and oregano on the top, and they will thank you for creating them such a fine meal.
Why do you say that?
Because people absolutely buy any bullshit you feed them on social media. They read the headline of a clickbaity article. Like, I mean, I have seen so many of my friends sharing this thing about Ramaphosa promising a million houses in Alex over the next year, and like a quick fact check, it isn't true. People are also like, and it isn't true
that he said it. He did say it.
No, he said over 5 years and around the country.
He said he would build a million houses.
Okay, well, I fact checked it and it came up as incorrect on like four different fact checking sites. It's like been taken completely out of context. And he hasn't promised the town of Alex a million houses in a year. Well, they were like, there's not enough.
It was certainly he was trying to dupe them into.
There's not enough square meterage.
Of course
to
not.
Do it.
I mean, you could have the minute he said it, that was immediately the conclusion of anyone who'd known the geography of Alex, even remotely. But here's the deal: you say that in Alex when there's a protest going on because people don't have infrastructure. Even if you mean the rest of the country, we're going to build a million.
Okay, maybe
what
a bad example.
You're bullshitting credulous people.
Fine, maybe a bad example, but you can post like an avocado in your vagina cures autism, and people just buy it because it's like it looks like internet. You can create a WordPress or Foursquare site in 15 minutes that lets you put a headline image and a headline to write whatever you want, and like, and people also like they share shit from sites with URLs that are clearly bullshit. And then there's like a billion whatever has been donated to fucking Notre Dame Cathedral, and where's the money for this endangered sea turtles?
By the way, I'm so glad you brought that thing up. We got to get to that in a second.
But it's like there are billions of dollars being donated to the hungry. There are billions of dollars. How do you know there's not? Do you think there's like three Mr. Burnses from The Simpsons with one kitty of money deciding
which cause gets any money this year and which cause gets none?
Like, there are UNICEF are putting in at least that much money into hunger.
Here's the problem. People don't understand how the world works, and it's usually poor people who don't understand how the world works.
No, my friends are not poor. They're just dumb.
Okay, well, that's also true. But here's the deal. So it's a lot of people like to imagine that in a world where they had control, they would distribute the resources more fairly. And they think
based on science they don't understand.
They think that some people are rich because they stole the money. I mean, I'm talking about intelligent people who I know who've studied something at university, something probably in the humanities, but they've studied something and they're competent people, they can articulate their position and argument. Here is that argument, and I had it with a few of my semi-smart friends over the weekend. It's wrong that the guys who own LVMH, which is Louis Vuitton and Dior and all of those labels, right? It's the Pinault family, Pinault in France. They're the richest family in France.
Or as Ben likes to call them, the hunchback.
Yeah, well, Ben calls
hunchback and the rest of his family.
Because the father is Bernard, and the son is François, or something like this. Maybe it's the other way
around.
You're
just showing off your fancy French pronunciation.
It's like if Colissa comes in here, I'm going to call her Colissa. I'm not going to go Colissa. You know what I mean?
Okay, so Bernard and François, they make the handbags.
Now you're mocking them. If you did that to someone black, they'd call you racist. Anyway,
well,
the point
that's
is,
a lot of things.
Hold on. I'm going to finish this thought before we get into the particulars of pronunciation.
I'm allowed to think you pasty, but I can't think C as a glorious golden okra.
Aye, that's because, well, I
you just actually are a glorious golden okra.
So this guy says to me, these people who own this fashion house, they stole this money from other people. Now, I don't know where all these other people had all this money beforehand, because I don't see any balance sheet in history where the poor people of Iraq or Central Africa or the Amazon Basin had huge holdings in Barings Bank, for example, before it went down. And then the Pinault family swept in and grabbed all their assets.
They hit you with a handbag, take your money, and then leave you with the handbag.
Clearly, this is what the guy's argument was, is that this money is stolen, that they're ill-gotten gains. Now, I'm terribly sorry, but it appears to me that the people who buy Louis Vuitton bags and Gucci sunglasses and Dior fragrances are not necessarily people who are at the top of the food chain or right at the bottom. It's usually people in the middle.
Yeah, in the middle looking up.
All right? So these are people who are working really hard for a couple of months and they buy this bag. It's not stolen. They've taken a couple of months' worth of work and exchanged it voluntarily for a good which they require, which they believe to be something that they need.
Yeah.
And when they get it, they're satisfied.
And if all of that collective middle class gave their 3,000 rand for the handbag they don't need to save the purple,
eventually you end up with quite a lot of
parrot
money.
Bird. Mm-hmm. They could do it,
and
but you don't want to give your 3,000 rand for PlayStation games or Louis Vuitton bags.
But it's fine for you as the middle class person who buys a Louis Vuitton bag at the end of 6 months of hard work. It's fine for you to point fingers at the people who make the Louis Vuitton bag that you like
and haven't saved billions, the parrot,
right? And say to them, this is how you should spend your money.
Exactly. And also,
when you've spent your time and money giving it to them,
the same assholes that will buy their five friends a 700 rand round at the bar are like, let's have a drink and talk about the Illuminati not putting money into the right places. And the one that makes me want to punch people the most, and I love rhinos, okay, but that's the one where it's a picture of the cathedral and a picture of a rhino, and it's like, I would rather we spent the money so that my grandchildren have rhinos and not cathedrals. It's like, okay, ass face. The problem is not that money is not pumped into conserving rhinos. It is. You're assuming they took the rhino money and gave it to the cathedral. But the problem with the rhino situation is that too much money is being pumped into buying the horns. It's not enough money being pumped into paying for more.
And I got bad news for you. It's not billionaires buying rhino horns either.
No, it's middle
poor people,
to poor people
with
who think
soft,
it'll fix their dick.
Soft cocks in Asia.
Actually, though, it does supposedly fix a soft cock. That is part of the sort of.
What?
Really?
No. It doesn't really. I'm saying the urban legend, the perception, it is one of the uses of rhino horn, but it's used for a lot of other things in the Asian market. Like,
wait,
it's
but
not
you
just
said supposedly does.
No. I phrased that incorrectly.
Saying, God,
no,
rephrase.
It is true that it is purchased for the purpose of failing to treat penis.
Yes.
But it's also, it's not just that. People are like, these guys just want their dicks hard and they'll kill the rhinos for that. It's meant to cure all kinds of shit.
Yeah, it's just, it's a big
cure-all
witch doctor-y, shaman-y bullshit
thing.
But
as long as there are billions of...
Anyway, my point is if Gord has 50 rand and I have 5 rand and Sia has 100 rand, and Sia decides to put 90 of his 100 rand into saving the praying mantis... Gord decides to put all of his money into buying a pair of headphones, and I decide that I want to go to the coffee shop down the road and spend all of my money there. That's our business.
Yeah.
You have let me tell you where your magisterium ends, because clearly the people who are complaining about this stuff don't understand that it's none of their fucking business.
But they also
what
don't
other people
know.
Do with their
money. They don't know that they assume... Why can't we put, and my other favorite one is, why should we be sending rockets to Mars when we can't fix the ocean? That's like, first
let
of all, who is
you.
We?
Yeah, we are not.
You're talking
you are doing
about
nothing.
A small group of people who since age
you
4
work at the tail,
have been dedicated as fuck to learning how to Mars rocket, and that is what they live for. And that is all that they want to do, and they are not taking money out of the parrots and turtles funds to put people on Mars. Independent people with drive and a mission do one thing. It's like, how come the light bulb company haven't invented a better sneaker? It's because they make light bulbs, asshole.
What do you think is behind this?
People have no idea. They don't. They look at a structure that doesn't that they can't understand.
So
it doesn't include
just
them.
Resentment.
But it goes back to my earlier point.
It's just resentment.
Assholes believe assholes. Things on the internet.
Yeah.
Resentment in what way?
Well, because people see someone with something and they're just resentful it's not theirs. I guarantee you, every one of those people who's complaining about, like, the Pinots who want to save France's greatest cathedral.
850
because
year
they,
old.
Because like, they're French, okay? And France matters to
beautiful,
them.
Beautiful a cathedral, a massive testament Gord, to human ingenuity.
Gord, what matters to people is sometimes stuff that doesn't matter to other people. Maybe to you, Western civilization doesn't matter. Maybe to you, art and architecture don't matter. Maybe you think it's ridiculous that someone would pay $200 million for a painting. But for them, that's tremendously valuable. Just like for you, a Louis Vuitton bag might be tremendously valuable. You have no right to tell someone else what to do with their cash. And resentment comes in where people are unable to understand why they don't have what someone else has. They don't see that the reason they don't have what someone else has is because either they're not as clever, they're not as lucky, they're not in the right place, they're not at the right time, and there are a bunch of other factors that come into it. But either way, you're not as rich as the Pinots, don't tell them what to do with their cash. And that's It's down, dirty, human resentment. It comes from nowhere but the lowest places in our reptilian brains.
That lack of understanding of how things work. I mean, this is I don't know the numbers either, but I'm not willing to presume that the collective wealthy people that have pledged 600 million, whatever it is supposed to be, that's been pledged to fix the cathedral, mm-hmm. are not pledging anything else at all. They probably also do a lot of philanthropy.
But that shouldn't
you
matter
have no
either
idea.
Way. Whether they do,
let
whether
me,
they don't, it's their money.
Exactly. But still, here's the
people
point
are
too.
Going, they don't do X, and then they do Y. How's Y more important than X? Totally outrageous. It's like, but you haven't investigated what's happening with X. Why are they not feeding the starving? They fucking are.
My
UNICEF
first,
get
my
lots
first
of money.
Question, and all of our first question to anyone who raises that from today on should be, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And where do you put your charity money?
Yeah.
And how much do you give away? Because,
and everybody bloody should.
Everybody yeah. should. Everybody should do something for someone else. Being completely selfish is no way to go through life.
No.
And whether it's your time, your money, your effort, your energy, your love, mm-hmm. wherever you put that stuff, that's the stuff that matters. Yeah. It's not how much you keep for yourself. And anybody who says that is guaranteed, I'll put my head on the block for this one, guaranteed that someone who's criticizing someone else's charity for not being the right kind of charity is likely doing nothing themselves.
Yeah, and I firmly believe the philosophy of charity that I have is that you cannot and should not, well, it's not you cannot, you can do what you want, but you should not publicize what you do charity wise. It should be an act of almost done anonymously. And
yeah,
so I will say nothing. I will say nothing about what I do and don't do for charity, but I do things and money things, and it makes me feel bloody fantastic. And for anyone to assume that I don't is just idiotic, because what else should you do? Like, sing it from the rooftops that you donate to this charity and that charity,
yeah, well,
and that
for
charity.
For a lot of people, it is that. It's virtue signaling.
But then there is also, I mean, it's another debate. Maybe we have it another time. But there is something to the fact that, like, rather if a starving baby gets fed at the expense of a dickhead being proud of themselves, then feed the starving baby.
Yeah.
But the point is, like, it's something you should do and you should be doing. And if you can afford luxuries, you can afford to donate a little bit. But the point that I'm getting back to is that where are these assholes with their 150 bucks for the cause that they think the Illuminati should be solving for them? Put in some money, and then you can bitch about other people who don't.
No, I still don't think you can.
No,
bitch.
I agree. I agree. You probably can't, but so you have a leg to stand on. Yeah.
Sia brought up a thing in said by Sia yesterday about this dude who did a very charitable, very honorable, very noble thing, right? He left a tip for a waiter who'd been abused by someone else. This waiter had a whole lot of shit said to him, and the patron had left four rand,
mm-hmm.
which was insulting, because his bill was like 400 rand or whatever. So these 11 people who were at a table next door or whatever, they left a 4,000 rand tip for this guy, which is awesome. And I should really stop the story there, because what I'm about to say afterwards, I have as little right to say as the people who criticized the Notre Dame Cathedral funders. But the fact is, he then went and on social media told everybody they'd done this, which is fine. I suppose it's a good story. It's an interesting story. It's how it came up on Said by Sia. Otherwise, we'd never have known, and it wouldn't be something we could discuss here. But I do suddenly become suspicious then of the motives. I'm like, well, that's good, and I don't disagree that of those 11 people giving the 4,000 rand, all of them doubtless had good intentions. They parted with their money, and
right.
the action speaks louder than the words.
Yeah, exactly. And
so
if they
great.
Want, if feeling good is the price, I mean,
sure.
it's a long-held sort of psychological and human, anthropological, I guess, kind of notion that there's no altruistic deed. Even someone, you know, as altruistic as you like, who's trying to be humble and not take credit for it, they're trying to do it for so that they can feel better, so that they can feel enriched. And those,
right.
those are perfectly good good reasons. But there's no such thing as a truly selfless act. Even if your mission is to live a pious life, help the poor, and get to heaven,
that gives
you're
you
still trying to get to heaven.
Sure.
So, you know,
and it gives you a thrill. It gives you a feeling in this life. You said just now, it makes me feel good.
I'm not purely selfless. I just don't like to publicize. And I'm even contradicting myself by mentioning it now. But when the purpose is kind of self-aggrandizement, it's a little bit kind of gross, but I think still do it anyway.
Yeah.
It's a bit tacky and a bit garish, but do it anyway. If you want to brag, brag.
It's what you actually mentioned a little while ago in saying that with whatever the intention is, at the end of the day, you use the example of a baby gets fed. And I've always been that person saying, screw it, if it makes a change, go ahead.
However, don't do nothing for the baby and make as much noise as the bragging restaurant tippers about who else should be for you. Fuck off.
That's why, in a very weird way, as we see a celebrity who's now a UN Goodwill Ambassador, and they're doing photo ops with the baby in Africa with the fly on its nose.
Yeah.
I don't focus much on that. I focus on the fact that, you know what, there might be, even if it's five more people, just because now Angelina Jolie's posing with a starving kid.
Sure.
Five more people who know about what's happening in Syria. Five more people who know whether to donate or not.
Right.
I just focus on
that. It's not harming anybody either.
All right, here we've got a couple of different points of view. Guillermo says, I give $150 every month to Doctors Without Borders. This is the first time I've said anything to anyone about it. I don't say anything about saving rhinos. I support what's important to me.
Yeah, good for you, dude.
Right. Sean says, I bought two PS4 games yesterday. I don't give any money to charity.
I bet you one of them was Mortal Kombat 11. I nearly didn't come to the show.
He says, I also don't give money to car guards. Come at me, motherfuckers.
I love our listeners. I ask
for change in 5 rand coins, and I keep it because I just figure, like, some people have shit all opportunity. But that's literally not me, a humble brag. Oh, I'm so charitable. I give $5. And I realized, like, I used to give $5. I used to look out for the guys who look like they're the most needy and then go, ooh, you look like you could work. You shouldn't get my $5. The oak who looks like he's got leprosy next to you, he gets $5. And now it's like, okay, well, you actually can't judge. Most people would work if they could, et cetera,
et cetera,
et cetera.
You know, again,
it's not it's a very pontificating to rate the poor person.
And if you give people charity, you can't expect them to do a certain thing with it. There's nothing worse than those people who go, oh, this guy's just going to spend this on booze or weed.
Yeah, and so what?
You have nothing.
So what if they do? It's not your business. If that's the comfort they need in their shit life with no opportunity.
Okay, well,
but I think everybody that lives above the breadline with reasonable means, if you literally don't have the means and you're borrowing someone else's internet to listen to this, then obviously it's a different story. But I think just about everybody can take $50 a week. Get it put into fives. $100 a week if you're lucky. It's still only 400 rand a month. It's a lot of money, but I mean, fuck, it's less than a dinner if you go to a nice restaurant. And keep those 5 rand coins in your ashtray or whatever, and hook up a car guard, because the proper car guard irks that have got the vest that are like there at the behest of the shopping center, they're doing that to try and make a living.
Well, yes, but they're unnecessary in a lot of these places.
Yeah,
totally,
how many more cars will get stolen if there aren't any of
bullshit.
Those shits? The ones in Parkhurst, they're the ones that cause the problem.
Bullshit.
Now I want to hear this.
I've seen car guards run and scurry like rats into corners the minute anyone
with
a gun comes
nearby. They're not going to fight for you against a guy with a gun, but they're going to stop the dude with a coat hanger from popping your window.
All right, let me just point out that you can do whatever you want if you want to help these guys. I go to the gym every day, there's the same car guard. I park my car in a place where I know it's pretty safe. I have an alarm. I have all that shit for a good reason. I don't need to be giving him money every day. Otherwise, it's going to bankrupt me eventually.
Yeah, maybe not every day. So look, I'm just saying as a rule of thumb, do what you can.
President of the Car Guards.
As a rule of thumb, do what you want.
Yeah, sure.
And if you feel like it makes you feel a little bit better or it does nothing for you, if it does nothing for you,
Buy your PlayStation games. I'm just saying, don't complain about what other people aren't doing if you aren't doing shit yourself.
So,
on
to the five things you need to know today. We'll start off with a good news story that kind of ties together a lot of this discussion.
It's Mortal Kombat, isn't it? Came out at midnight yesterday.
The world's first malaria vaccine will go to 360,000 African children, and that is as a result of some work by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who are also the most charitable people that have ever lived. I want to point out that Bill Gates is also one of the richest people who has ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
He sometimes pops into the number one spot, sometimes number two.
And he's got Warren Buffett backing him.
Correct. And between him and Warren Buffett, they have given more to charity than any humans in history. And here they are with actual results. They are going to wipe malaria out, ultimately.
Can't wait for some mommy blogger to decide that that causes left-handedness and lesbianism and then tell their followers to ban the...
Yeah, that'll happen.
Okay.
And there'll be someone who says that he should be spending his money on
rhinos. The 6,000-year-old Earth does not have space for that kind of thing.
All right, so a couple other things you need to know this morning. Let's get into it. those Durban floods. Jeez, oh, did you see some of those videos?
Yeah, my homies with their boxing gym in Durban, it's like completely like, it's halfway up to the knee in water. And they're not people threatened by death and starvation.
Well, among those killed in floods and mudslides that crushed homes in Durban on Tuesday were a six-month-old baby and a child aged around 10. The death toll's already at 33, with reports of children missing and scores of people displaced. Heavy rains have claimed 33 lives so far, says the MEC for Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs in KwaZulu-Natal. She added 10 children were missing in Durban, 42 people had been injured. Now, a lot of people will tell you, well, this weather, it's getting worse and worse, and it's all because of climate change. But it's also because humans build houses in places that we never really needed to build houses before. Because
we want an amazing view.
Yeah, we build them on the banks.
Or just access to the river where you can wash and stuff.
Well, yeah, but you build your house too close to the river, guess what happens? Your house gets taken in by the river. There are 100-year flood lines that you're not allowed to build on that people go and build on. So bad things happen sometimes because you deserve them. And I'm not saying that as an insensitive prick around this time with the floods, but the same thing can be illustrated with the Mozambican situation. Same thing can be said for those people who live on the island of Montserrat, which is an active volcano. They build their houses there, volcano erupts, and people go, oh, that's terrible. No, it isn't. Don't build your house on the slopes of a volcano. It's probably not going to end well. And the same goes for all these houses that rich people are building right on the coast.
Yeah, or at like kind of beer sport places like that.
Well, it happens in Malibu in California. People are building their houses right on the coast. And you can build up to a certain distance from the beach, but essentially there are also places where they let you get away with breaking those rules. Yeah. Then when your house collapses down into the sea, everybody goes, oh, such a tragedy.
But, I mean, the poorest of the poor, they're not thinking like, this is not high on the hierarchy of needs. It's on the lowerarchy of needs.
Yeah, but let's not do what I call the soft bigotry of low expectations and say, well, there are two standards for poor
the
people.
The soft bigotry of low expectations.
We say, well, with poor people, shame, they don't know better. And with rich people, okay, they should. Because okay, I think that's
that
deeply,
is food for
deeply
thought,
patronizing.
That's food for thought.
So there we go.
Just, I'll curb just, that.
Yeah, no, curb that, exactly. Just be careful, and obviously, my brother and sister-in-law were heading down to the coast yesterday. They had to stop under a bridge. It was raining so hard that floods near Amanzimtoti, where there were a lot of people who were washed down the river. Listen, it's very, very dangerous. Weather is still your boss.
Your weather is serious shit.
Mother Nature will show us who's in charge. Yeah.
She'll take off her slipper or her belt. And she will show you that she is the mom in this household.
That's right.
Spinky, spinky.
Chris Murray-Lang has been...
Sorry, what?
She'll spink us. Spinky, spinky.
Chris Murray-Lang has been dismissed by the SABC, their CEO.
Dum, dum, dum.
Sorry,
COO, right? Yeah.
He says he's devastated by the dismissal. It's quite a low point in my career because it has led to a situation where the SABC has decided to accept the recommendations of the findings of a disciplinary committee of the broadcaster, which is held outside the SABC. The public broadcaster's board met on Tuesday to consider the findings and recommendations. In a short statement, the SABC said the board resolved to terminate Murray-Lang's employment contract with immediate effect.
Did they give a specific reason?
Well, these recommendations by the disciplinary committee, which found him guilty of gross negligence.
Hell yes.
He said at worst he may have exercised bad judgment when he wrote a recommendation letter for somebody, a former employee. In its statement, the SABC said after due consideration of the findings and recommendations, the board resolved to terminate the contract, blah, blah, blah.
There are so many questions.
But it's all very weird and very interesting. I'm actually scheduled to be on a panel with Chris Murray-Lang on Thursday morning.
Tomorrow.
So I'll ask him if he's there.
Do you think he's going to pitch up?
Well, he might cancel, right? Because this is all very embarrassing.
Yeah, I was thinking.
He may be talking about the future of media.
Because what is he going to say?
Well, the future of media does not include me.
That's right.
Oh! That's part of what we know. Then after that, there'll be holograms and probably some VR goggles. Yeah. And not me.
Oh, no.
Thabo Mbeki, who suddenly raised his head just pre the elections, he has a suspicious way of doing this. He said a while ago he couldn't vote ANC. Now he's saying he can, but he's raised his head to say that the ANC's call for the nationalization of the Reserve Bank would not result in any material achievement. He was speaking at the Gauteng ANC Pavilion at the Rand Easter Show, where he declared his intention to vote and campaign for the ANC in the upcoming elections. Since his defeat by his successor, Jacob Zuma, and his recall by the party in 2008, he has not been active in ANC politics. So he said under Ramaphosa he can campaign again, like they were good friends. They weren't good friends. Thabo Mbeki hated Cyril. In fact, Thabo Mbeki did everything he could to oust Cyril during the time that he was deputy president under Nelson Mandela so that he could be the successor. And he succeeded. And then Cyril had to go into business. It wasn't like Cyril wanted to go into business. Just read a history book. Then, after Thabo was ousted by Jacob Zuma, Cyril quietly slipped back in. And Thabo was out in the cold, just like he'd put Jacob Zuma out in the cold, and Cyril out in the cold. So don't for a minute think that any of this is that suspicious. These three are still power players in South African politics, and not one of the three of them doesn't want the power that they once had.
But I actually like Thabo like this. I picture Uncle Thibos sitting somewhere. Where does he live?
With his pipe. He's in Killarney.
In Killarney. And every once in a while, I'll see his face pop up on social media because someone has gone to visit him and they want to be associated. But I think he's balancing that fine line well between still playing his role, still being vocal, still being a source of advice, but also not being too much in our faces.
Well, he tends to make himself heard when he wants to be heard. And you know, he does put out a press release every now and then. It's just nobody reads them because they're highly intellectual and usually quite boring. Then the White House has refused to meet a Tuesday deadline to deliver 6 years of President Donald Trump's tax returns to Congress, escalating a battle that is expected to head to court. So here's how it works in America. The legislature of the United States, the Congress and the Senate, actually have no business, according to U.S. law, knowing what a private individual has earned, spent, or done in terms of anything except that they've paid all their taxes. That's all they have any responsibility. And if they want to bring an action against you, they have to prove in a court of law, in the judicial arm of government, they have to prove that they have a good reason to suspect that you've been dodging taxes. Now, they don't have any good reason to suspect that Donald Trump has dodged taxes. They say they do. Guess who it is? His enemies in the Democratic Party.
Of course.
So it's being used as a political football. Donald Trump has no desire whatsoever to open up his finances to everybody else. Why? Because perhaps he's embarrassed that he's not as rich as he keeps telling people he is. That would be the main Donald Trumpian reason for doing this.
Trumpian is now a
term.
No, it is. I mean, you know the guy's all ego, right? So if Donald Trump doesn't want to do something, it's usually because it doesn't feed the ego. If he does want to do something, it's usually because it does. These are very obvious things that anyone who's paid even 5 minutes of attention to Trump should be able to ascertain. If he gives his books over to the public, if he does what Bernie Sanders did, where Bernie was embarrassingly discovered to be a millionaire, even though he's a socialist, Donald Trump knows that maybe people will say, oh, so you're not the 8 billion or 10 billion or 12 billionaire that you thought you were. You're actually only worth a billion.
And we know petty people will hold something like
this. Right, and Donald Trump's petty too, so he'll get upset because he's petty. I mean, to me, this is all just a wild goose chase. It makes absolutely no difference. I, on the other hand, if we were dealing with our own government, I'd kind of like to know that the people running for public office got their money fair and square, that they're not
the problem
involved
with getting
in
your money
dodgy
fair
businesses.
And square. I call it the paradox of bugger all.
What
it's
do you
like,
mean, Gord?
Well, in order to, what I want, like ludicrous money to facilitate for me is not yachts and gold-plated Ferraris. It's doing bugger all. But in order to do bugger all, you have to do so much.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I could bugger all myself into a place of senior rank in bugger alling, that would be fantastic. But I mean, you need to bugger all with the roof and a PlayStation and all those cool things. So
well,
I have to still work, and that really sucks.
I don't know whether I'm on the side of people who say that all politicians should reveal everything about their finances, because I think if we did lifestyle audits in this country, we'd find out that politicians are all sucking money out of the system and putting it in their own pockets.
Somewhere, somehow.
We know that. We just don't know the detail.
I was going to say about the KZN floods and that kind of thing. I mean, I wonder how much disaster relief readiness there is in that province. I wonder how much infrastructure. Because, yes, you know, like build on the rock and not upon the shore and all that. But like, yo, I mean, how many helicopters were airlifting drowning people out that could have been saved? I don't know. It's probably crap. But the most important story of the day is obviously Mortal Kombat 11. And we
let's talk about that.
I had a day of mixed emotions, highs and lows yesterday. Because I was under the misapprehension due to time zones, etc., and following the social media of Mortal Kombat 11, that when the game released at midnight, that it would have released at midnight 6 hours and 46 minutes ago, and not the previous midnight, because I just didn't maths correctly. So the entire day of yesterday, while I worked and exercised diligently, both Mortal Kombat was available for download. I'd pre-ordered it, prepaid for it.
You didn't
know.
It
appeared on my list of games that said, like, ready to download, press here. And so I was informed of this by a buddy of mine. Have you joined it yet? What do you think? I'm like, no, tomorrow. That's when it's available. No, it's available now. So I go on and I press download, and it's a 40-gig file. Oof. And it's like 12 hours till download. Oh. It actually, I got a little ping about 2 hours later, because it was like Microsoft minutes. It means fucking nothing. But it was still 40 gigs. It needed. I wasn't going to happen instantly.
So how long did it take in the end?
I was in bed half asleep when I heard the little notification. Probably like 2 hours. But I didn't get to play it, is the point. I was like, you know, I went to sleep. So I still haven't played it, and I'm dying. I'm literally having conniptions. But I can't bloody wait to play Mortal Kombat 11.
That's awesome. So this is obviously long awaited, and yes. A lot of people, I saw some noise on it on social media.
Mortal Kombat 10, or Mortal Kombat X as it's called, and XL is the expanded pack, is about 5 or 6 years old now, and that is the most successful, commercially most successful Mortal Kombat game. They rebooted the Mortal Kombat timeline with Mortal Kombat, just called Mortal Kombat, which was actually Mortal Kombat 9, which was a reboot of the first three games on PlayStation 3, started the storyline again. Time travel was involved, conveniently, and Mortal Kombat X is the first sequel in the new timeline, and that was massively successful. So now Mortal Kombat XL picks up where that... I mean, excuse me, Mortal Kombat 11 picks up where Mortal Kombat X left off. There's the usual people who contribute nothing to developing the game and don't make their own games, bitching about which characters are and are not in. Because the historical Mortal Kombat roster is probably more than 100 characters, so they can't put them all in every game.
Okay, so last time I played Mortal Kombat, which was ages ago, I can't even remember.
Was it on an arcade machine or on a console?
No, it was on a console, and I remember some of the moves, but I wasn't great at it. My brother was much better, and we used to play against each other. So there was Shao Kahn.
Yes, he was the big boss. He's the character that I paid extra money for, because if you pre-ordered, you got him. Whereas for a while, he won't be available to other people, and you'll have to pay what's called a DLC, a downloadable content or downloadable character. You'll pay like 100 extra bucks, and then you can download it. And they will continue to release DLCs over the course, and new outfits, new costumes, new weapons.
Wow.
You know, the game is pretty complete. It's not a complete con job like games on your phone where it's free but you can't enjoy it without buying shit.
God, but are you even going to make it through the day?
I'm not a huge gamer. I'm not a, you know, neckbeard virgin gamer. I struggle a lot to find time to play games. I go weeks and months without utilizing the very expensive PS4 that I have, which exists almost entirely for the purpose of Mortal Kombat. I have the big, massive Mortal Kombat tattoo on my forearm.
You've got Scorpion.
Scorpion, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Just above my satanic goat and next to my Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z.
God, would you, like, ever consider having, like, a Cliff Central tattoo somewhere?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, if it was ironic. It depends on what sort of... I
wouldn't want Gord having that. It would be bad branding for us.
Yeah, I said Cliff Central first, because I was gunning for my name or face.
It would also be one of those things where, like, if the relationship turns sour, and in years when I've started Gord Central and put this place under with my superior product, then it'll be like... I will, however, get a life-size tattoo of your face on my face.
Fabulous. Just on your back.
I'll have my face tattooed as your face, and then I'll look like you.
Never mind then.
Anyway, very excited about Mortal Kombat 11. I know most listeners don't care, so I'll change the topic now, but it's really exciting for me. They release one of these games every few years. It's like a Metallica album. It happens seldom. So I'm excited.
All right, very good. Here's something cool before we get to Said by Sia this morning. This is from Rich Mulholland. He sent this to me. It's a Game of Thrones rock remix, the theme song. So see if you like this.
You've heard the cat, now hear the rock.
Right.
Hell yeah, so far. If you want to hear the rest, you can find
that's
it on
cool.
the internet.
That's cool. That was done well, because usually it's just, let's play the same chords and notes and keys at the same timing with massive distortion on a down-tuned guitar.
Right.
That's like Urso shredding.
What?
Urso shredding.
Shredding?
Shredding is when you play like a thrash metal style riff that's fast and technical.
You've already lost your thrash
metal
riff,
can
so
go. Metal can go gang 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 and be metal. Other times it can go like that's shredding.
I don't even know what to say.
Early Metallica shredding.
I just got a message from Eleanor who says the Gareth and Gord rant is giving my sick body life this morning.
Healing, the healing power of ranting.
And then someone sent this message out on social media. To all my fellow South Africans, I'm really sorry. I've just polled 60 out of 84 people who work for me. 100% are going to vote for the ANC. I asked why, considering corruption, service delivery problems, etc. The answer was because we must.
Oh. You see, that touches on a whole other justification and reasoning of a lot of people who just do what they know. You know, people who parent the same way they were parented. People who live where they live just because they've always lived there. And people who will vote just because that's all they've ever known.
I'm busy reading Homo Deus by Yuval Noah Harari after reading Sapiens. And, like, he's obviously a very educated historian, a political commentator, and it doesn't necessarily mean all of his views are right, but the man is well-informed.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And so much of what we do, like culturally, our religions, our practices, traditions, like why we have lawns,
yes, that's
literally comes from things that you just take for granted. People have lawns. But why? Why not have a veggie garden? Why not have a wilderness outside? No, it's like because having a lawn in...
It's a status symbol.
Yeah, to have a lawn when there were no lawn mowers, no automatic weeding things, no bags of quick sprouting insta-lawn, like required an army of servants. And it was like the ultimate status symbol to conquer the plant environment outside of your place of dwelling. And then sports were created that could only be played on lawns so that wealthy people could control those sports.
No, rich people have always
but let them do
like
let them, I'm not complaining about it. I'm saying, but we see, like, and then it became through technology and sort of the vastly heightened standard of living of the average person, thank you to capitalism, regular people can have a bit of a lawn if they want one. And so we do, because your kids must play on a lawn. But, I mean, your kids could play in a wooded outside perfectly fine.
So anyway, you were getting to the
loads
voting
of the shit that we do because we do it. And you think you're a free-thinking individual with, like, your religion is right because you were raised that it's right. And it's like your religion's a load of bullshit. So is, like, your political alignment. So is, I mean, you know, it's just we're automatons 80% to 90% of
that's
the time, and
the
you
day
think you're an actual fucking individual, and you're not. And that goes for me and everyone.
Automa who?
Loads of automaton.
Automaton.
You're automated. And again, I'm not sitting here on a high horse being the only non-automaton looking at everyone else with pity. I probably don't realize that three-quarters of what I do is just there because it's there, and it's you don't question it. So, yeah, voting because also, I don't know if this is urban legend or bullshit or whatever, but my next
someone is going to Christopher Robin you.
An ex-girlfriend of mine's mother is very religious, and she's a wonderfully contributey sort of person to society.
Contributey.
She runs like a sort of a Sunday school where the kids at the local schools that don't have the proper education via those schools, she does like basic reading, writing, and teaches them stuff. It's not like religiously based, but it's done via the church. And she was saying that these kids range from like, they're primary school kids, so they range from like 6 to 25. And their understanding of democracy means liberated from apartheid. And so now the ANC are in charge. It's like the process of choosing and the amount of choice, the amount of votes equal win. Democracy is the word for the whites used to oppress us and now they don't. And the ANC are the organization that ensure that that continues. So voting ANC is voting not apartheid.
Oh,
right. Yeah, that's about, that makes a lot of sense.
They don't understand tax and how it works, and they don't understand
the choice.
Democracy and how it works.
Isn't all reliance on the ANC. Yeah,
democracy is go and every 4 years cancel apartheid again.
Yeah.
By pressing the ANC button.
I think you've just articulated the position very well for people who still struggle with why a lot of people would do that. It's go every 4 years and cancel apartheid again.
And the ANC logo is the no apartheid button.
Right.
And, you know, you said just now the double standards of holding the less educated to a lower standard and whatever. That's fine. I agreed with that. And as soon as you said that, I went, oh, shit, that's a dickhead behavior that maybe I'm doing. But to an extent, because by institutionalizing failed education, the ANC have made sure that they are not held to a proper standard because their own voting public, they've made sure they're not educated enough to know how tax should work, how democracy should work, and thus be informed enough to know that they're failing. If my football team, Manchester United, are losing 4-0 to Everton all the time, but they've basically propaganded me into thinking that that's glorious, I'll be happy with it.
Mm.
You'll think you're winning. So here's Sia with Said by Sia this morning. What do you got for us?
Well, this is quite an amazing story coming from Johannesburg, Nuchal. It's a medical story about the Africa's first fetus spine surgery.
Jeez. Sorry, what?
They did like, it inside the mother.
Listen to this. This is extraordinary. And so kudos to the medical team that's behind this. For the first time on the African continent, an expert team of doctors here in Johannesburg has successfully performed spinal surgery on a fetus who has spina bifida, which is, you know, an abnormality in the development of the spine of the fetus. So here we go. Bear with me with all of these long names and titles. So a specialist obstetrician and gynecologist had to work together in doing this. And the lead member in this medical team was Professor Nicola and his team at MediClinic Morningside, who worked with a team of international experts as well to perform the spinal surgery on a 25-week-old fetus. This happened this past weekend. So I'm not going to get into what spina bifida is, but the surgery itself was very delicate and complex, as you can imagine. And it include people like anesthesiologists, even people who were experts in neurosurgery and specialized neonatal ICU care as well. And all of these people worked together for this groundbreaking surgery here for the continent. The professor said that parents could choose to terminate the pregnancy if they discovered this earlier on, but this particular couple did not. And they also had the means and ways to undergo the surgery. And so the team were able to do this. As the surgery is performed with tiny instruments through the uterine wall, and by the way, they don't cut the uterus open. I think this is fascinating. The recovery period is a lot faster, and the patient may go on to actually have a normal vaginal delivery. So both the mother and the child are now recuperating well. But, you know, something like this happens every one in a thousand pregnancies. This is spina bifida. And the fact that now we're making inroads in combating this.
There used to be no cure for this thing. Why this is such a big story is because children were born with this condition, and then only after that could they do something about it. And usually by then, the spinal cord is not growing in the spine. It's actually come out of the spine, which is a bit of a problem, as you can imagine. So, you know, the child could end up lame from the legs down if it's at a certain vertebra that the spinal cord comes out, and maybe it's compressed between the vertebra themselves or in between those discs between the vertebra. So this is really interesting because it allows for the kid to be born without the problem that it was growing in the womb with.
I love the fact
this is tremendous.
This medical team is quite humble in my opinion. They made it sound so simple. They're like, yeah, all we have to do is just take the womb out, and we performed the surgery while the womb was resting on the mother's skin so that it still has that contact. And they were able to pop it back into the mother, sew it up, and she will have a normal delivery. Okay. This
That's pretty amazing. Insane.
Yeah, they say, I mean, it's an old expression, and I don't know the wording verbatim, but something along the lines of, to people who don't understand the scientific principles behind something, you know, science is indistinguishable from magic. If you took a medical person from 100 years ago that was bone sawing people and, you know, putting leeches on testicles and shit, and were like, cool, watch this, take a womb out. I mean, spina bifida probably wasn't identified at that point. Probably it was not. Like, God hated your baby, so it was born funny. It's just like, it's indistinguishable from magic. Like how cell phones work. I can video talk to a person who's in a different place. It would just mind blown. If we were to look even 20 years, but 50 or 70 or 100 years into the future, you think linearly. So you think like, we have cars, the cars will be better. You'll be beaming somewhere. Like,
can't wait. That's where I got to stay alive.
All right. So shout out to Professor Nicolau and the whole team at MediClinic Morningside, along with some of the international experts. There was even a professor from the US who consulted in this for performing a spinal surgery on a 25-week-old fetus this past weekend. Africa's first. This is amazing.
All right. Well, your future is lit with a game changer from Telkom, because as a Cliff Central listener, you could be a series binger, a playlist connoisseur, an ultimate movie buff. But the good thing about all of those things is that you can access music services, TV series, movies, games, YouTube, and even us on Cliff Central's podcasts without using your data. Yeah, I'm not making that up. There's another magical thing, Gord. Get to cliffcentral.com for a step-by-step guide on how to get lit with Telkom. If your data costs are killing you, you need to get over to cliffcentral.com right now. Find out about it. You'll find the Telkom banner there. Sign up today and change your life for the better.
So that opens learning and information and insight and opinion up to people who might not otherwise have had access. That's awesome.
Correct. Correct.
This is CliffCentral.com.